Just many people just don't see it, but he made it all to show his glory to the world. You know, we're going to look at some verses today. We'll just start off in Luke chapter 8 if you want to turn to while I'm speaking here. But, you know, there's a lot of people today during these events in the next day or so that's going to happen that traveled a long ways, went to a lot of expense to see one thing in the sky, and they're missing God himself. And it's because they've been chained down in this life. They've been chained by this world. They've been chained by Satan himself, whether it's physical chains or spiritual chains that we wear and carry. But they're not able to see. They've been blinded by the lies that they've been told all their life. They've been blinded by the chains that bound them to habits and addictions and other things in this world that keep their attention and eyes off the Lord. And they miss the whole purpose of what everything's going on and what it means. It just seems like another event. And by Tuesday, it'll be forgotten and everybody will move on. Because they don't see the true meaning behind it because they've been chained and bound. Just like we have been before we met Jesus Christ, we didn't realize that we were serving the world and the flesh and the devil. We thought we were serving ourselves and we had goals and we had things we wanted to accomplish in life. And it all sounded great and dandy until one day we found out that the Bible tells us that in God's eyes, not in each other's eyes, but how God sees it, every person is undone. We're not perfect. We have sin. We've been born through the bloodline of Adam, and all through that bloodline is a sin bloodline, and we're all sinners, and we're all cut off from the glory of God. There's no way for us to get back to God, which is what it was intended from the Garden of Eden from the very beginning. God wanted his creation, all of his creation, with him. And yet, because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men because all have sinned. And God sees that and says that you have been bound and chained by this world and by the flesh, by the sin that the devil created. And now we live in those physical problems and the spiritual problems, and it doesn't seem like there's a way out. But God gave us a way out. And we see that there's physical change sometimes when we follow the devil. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 29, says, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." These were physical chains this person had on him when his life was so messed up by Satan and the devil that he was so out of control that the town people tried to bound him with chains and control him because physically he was out of control. He could not think for himself. He could not act for himself. And we see a lot today of the same things that people are bound by chains of in being incarcerated, other things, because they cannot control their life. They're unable to because they've been following the devil for all their life. They don't know anything but those physical chains. But you know, when we're as believers and children of God, and we have trusted Christ as our Savior, that doesn't mean that we still might not have some type of physical chains on us. Paul did. In Acts chapter 12, 6, it says, "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison." Now, Peter was in prison because he was preaching the gospel, and the people didn't like it. He was in prison for that. And the reason I mention that is because we're not speaking just to people here, but we have people that listen online across the world in India and other in Philippines and other places. And we have people that listen on sermon audio that are in countries that don't have the same freedom as we do. And when you testify of your faith in Jesus Christ, you may physically be put in chains because of your beliefs because of what you believe. And that's what happened to Peter. Paul was in prison many times in his ministry, and there was times that he was just there for many years because the Jews wanted him out of their life. And we could have physical chains that bind us, but also there's spiritual chains that we have to deal with. The devil's chains that he has are not only for the wicked, but for the righteous if he can get it done. Second Peter 1:16 says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." Now, Paul had physical chains, but he also had spiritual chains. He went to place to place in different countries and different cities and towns, and sometimes they received him. Sometimes he was able to preach the gospel. Sometimes he was hindered, and sometimes he was forced to leave and had to leave by in secret, or sometimes he was arrested. And there are times that the devil caused much chaos in his life because of his testimony for the Lord. But you know, the people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that we're going to have tribulations and trials in our life, but we don't have to live by those chains. The Lord's chains, he has. You think, well, the devil has chains. He tries to bind up the people that are preaching the gospel and telling people about Jesus and the Christians and try to put them in jail, try to mess up their life, mess up their testimony, mess up everything they can be involved with the Lord so they'll not be fruitful for God. But, you know, the Lord has chains for the wicked. Jude 1:6 says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness unto the judgment of that great day." See, there was a time way back in history that the devil, his name then was Lucifer. He was one of the three major angels in heaven, the mighty angels. You have Gabriel, you have Michael, and you have Lucifer. Those are the three angels that God created and were in charge of, you might say, of the other angels that God created. Lucifer decided at one time, and we see in Ezekiel and Isaiah, that he wanted to be God. He didn't want to just be an angel. He wanted to be God. He wanted to sit on the throne. He wanted people to worship him. And because of that, God cast him out. And the devil, being a liar that he is, and is the father of lies, is what God, Jesus called him, he was able to convince one-third of the angels to be on his side in this matter. And God cast him and the third part of the angels in heaven out into everlasting darkness. And that's what he's talking about here in Jude 1:6, that they're in chains until that great day of judgment. The judgment is going to come upon Satan for all he's done in this world. He just has a little bit of time in this world. And then his time's going to be over. And then we're going to be able to be with God forever and ever without that problem of the devil and sin and issues in life. But right now, those angels were chained by God to keep them from being back to enter, being able to be in the presence of God any longer, because they were cast out just like the human race was cast out with their sin. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of that on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. We see that the scriptures teach us that there's going to be a time that the angel is going to come, and by the Lord's command, he's going to bind the devil for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, Jesus is going to reign on this physical earth and bring peace to the whole land. But then after 1,000 years, those chains are going to come off, and Satan's going to be loose for a season, a short period of time, and God's going to destroy him and all his armies that he rises up against the people of God. And then, Revelation 20:10, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire with hell and death forever and ever. We're never going to have to mess with that again. But see, the devil has chains that he tries to use upon us. And the Lord also has chains he uses, which are completely different and much stronger. But we're talking about those chains that bind. People get into things of their life, physical chains. spiritual change. They become blinded. They can't see the truth. They don't understand what's going on. They don't even know they're changed until the blinds finally come off and they realize that they've been controlled. Their life completely has been controlled by this world and the devil and not of God at all. I know religious people that come to know God as their Savior and realize that all that time they were religious and they were trying to serve God and they didn't even have a relationship with the Lord. But God wants that for all people. He says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said in his word that God sent his Holy Son that the whole world could be saved. The whole world is not going to be saved unless it believes in God and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you do, God will deliver you. So we see there's physical chains that the devil puts on people's lives and drives them insane. There's physical chains sometimes that come upon us because of our testimony for the Lord. There's chains mentally and spiritually that may come upon us when we're serving God that cause us to, the devil tries to hinder us. But you know, the Lord himself is the only one that has power to deliver us from all the chains. Amen. And I'm so grateful for that. Amen. Psalm 68:6 says, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in dry land. When I gave my life to Christ, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, he forgave me of all my sin. All my chains that were I was bound for all my life before I got saved were finally dropped by the Lord. He freed us from everything and all things that could hinder us from serving him and being a child of God. He broke all the chains from Satan. He broke all the chains of the world in my flesh. And now I have a relationship with the Lord God Almighty that cannot be broken. Because when God delivers you from the chains, you're delivered indeed. But sometimes in our life, we still are sinners and we still make bad decisions until we meet Jesus and I get rid of this old body and have a good body and a right body and a sinless body. We're going to still have problems in this world. But God reminds us over and over again, just like this verse here, that stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Yeah. It's surprising that we have been freed from all the chains that bound us before we were saved. Now we've been freed in Jesus. Nothing to bind us down. And yet we cause, by decisions we make, chains to come back upon us to hinder us from doing the work of God. And it's our decision making that does that. We go back into the yoke of bondage where God freed us from that. It's not that God cannot free anybody. God can free anyone that places their trust in him. He can break any chain that anybody's under, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a physical chain, spiritual chain, mental chain. God can break all the chains. But sometimes we allow ourselves to get back into that mess because we're making bad decisions. And God doesn't want us to have bondage again. He wants us to be free from that. Be at liberty to serve God. God, it says here, can bring out those which are bound with chains. Mark chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now that story is the same that we're talking about in Luke, where this man had all these demons in him, and he was uncontrollable. He's out of his mind, and physically he had to be in chains, but he could break them all. And he had to go up in the tombs away from town to be away from everybody because he was such a danger to himself and everybody else. But then Jesus shows up. And Jesus walks in on that shoreline, and he sees Jesus from afar off and runs to Jesus, not to attack Jesus, not to gripe about Jesus, not to complain to Jesus, but to fall on his knees and his face before Jesus, that Jesus could heal him from all the chains that bound him. And Jesus did just that. I'm not going to read the whole story to you. He ran to them. Jesus met him, cast out all the demons, and he says that he was clothed, sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Amen. That's what it's like to be freed from all the sin and all the chains that bind us all our life. When we finally get rid of everything and all the demons that drive us crazy in our life, we can finally be set free mentally, spiritually, and physically in Jesus. We have freedom, and we'll find ourselves sitting at the feet of Jesus. Yeah. He even told Jesus, I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no, I want you to go in town and tell what I did for you. And when Jesus came back many days later, he left and he came back. The whole town came to meet Jesus this time. Why? Because one man told him about the chains that used to bind him that he's been set free from. And they believed him. They came to meet the man that did it. Acts 12, verse 6 tells us, let me read it because I didn't write it down. Acts 12. Verse number 7, sorry, it's the wrong one. Acts 12, verse 7. Get there real quick. It says, and behold, an angel of the Lord came upon him and shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. This is related to the verse we read earlier in Acts when Peter was in prison with the two chains and the keepers all around him and so forth. He says, and smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Yep. Nothing can bind you once the Lord frees you.
That's right.
There's nothing that can bind you. Even physical chains, God has no problem with. That's just ridiculous. He created the metal that created the chains. He can set you free from those chains. There's people we have that I know that preach in the prisons. Brother Rich is going to be with us next month. We have a man down there in Kennedy that does that too, in the prisons and the jails. And people get saved there, and they're still incarcerated. But when they pray and ask the Lord to save them, they've been freed from all their chains that bound them all those years. And then there's many times that God will release them from prison as well, and they'll have a miracle in their life, and it's because God wants them to testify to their family and their friends and their communities what God done in their life. If we've had people here, you know people in your life that have a testimony of how they were bound physically with chains in prison at one time, and they accepted Christ as Savior, God let them free, and they're never going to get over the fact that God broke all their chains in their life. It's something you just don't get over, because nothing can bind you once the Lord frees you.
Right.
Why sometimes that Christians keep going back to their chains, keep going back to that bond, being in chains and being under some other problem in our life that we don't need. God can set us free from all that. Doesn't want you to live like that in your life. God expects mainly two things in life. Just like Jesus said, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And the second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said in Mark chapter 12, 30 and 31 that all these are the greatest commandments, and all the other commandments are based on these two. Love the Lord and then love each other. If you'll do that, God will break all the chains. And there's nothing that you can't accomplish for the Lord, because that's what God wants. He wants his servants to serve him, not the world, not Satan, not our flesh. Serve the Lord. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Don't let anything take away your liberty that God gave you. Fight for that liberty. Fight for your right to serve the Lord. Stand with me, if you would, please, as we go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to stand as we have a time of invitation. Our invitation time here means that we want to invite you to make a decision about whatever it is the Lord is speaking to you about. And we have an altar here. You can come up here and pray, and whatever it is that you need to get with the Lord with, or you can pray where you're at. But I know we have people here and people online that listening. I don't always know everything that's going on in everybody's life. I never will. But God knows every person and every heart. He knows every decision that needs to be made. It's our top priority, our number one decision that we must make for Jesus is, if we died tonight, where would we spend eternity? What is your answer? What is your decision? God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life is Jesus Christ our Lord. You can have the gift of eternal life if you receive that gift and ask Jesus to save you right now. He'll save you. That's what he does. You'll be a child of God, never bound spiritually in this world again. Maybe you're a child of God and you know that you believe and you know if you die today, you would be in heaven. But maybe God's speaking to you about something else. Maybe it's something about service or something else in your life that you need to turn over to him. Maybe it's something that's bound you that you know that it's just bad decisions and you need to get rid of it, that you can get back focused on God. Turn it over to him today. As we pray, Father, thank you for the time we have here today. We do ask that you'll bless your invitation time and people will speak to you, get their hearts right, and you'll be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever the need is, spend a time in prayer. Let God have his way.